Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Well, I'm so grateful for the team from the Philippines being here, from TAF Church, serving. I loved how half of them is their first mission trip. And then half of them are veterans and they're here serving. And then in a couple of weeks, we have another mission team coming in from my home state, from Hawaii. And so we're just inundated with missionaries. We also have all the YWAM missionaries who are joining with us here. Ash helping lead worship. We love that. Praise God. So one of the YWAM guys, why don't you guys stand up? We can see who you are. Put you on the spot. That's good. We love missionaries. And, you know, we're in this series called Mission Field to Mission Force. And the point of this whole sermon series is to see that we are all missionaries. Wherever we live, once we come to know God, then we need to share what we've gotten from God. That's just who God is. God is love, the Bible says, and every good thing he wants to give away. And the Bible says that every good thing that we get in this life comes from him. So if you've had joy in life and just true goodness has come into your life from any, it's all a part of who God is. And we experience it because God created the earth. And so there's so much good in this world that we live in because it's a reflection of who God is. And there's people say, well, there's good in humanity. In one sense, we're all sinners and we're all, you know, separated from God. But in another sense, we all have good in us because we're created in his image. And God's intention is that we would be good and do good to others, that we would grow up to be like him. That's what every father and wife, mom, that's it, fathers and mothers, that's the word. You know, mother, they desire for their kids to grow up, to be in many ways like them. And that's God's desire for us too. That we would celebrate each other's birthdays. So fun. I can hear the kids back here, up here. You know, I love this church because I get to hear the kids. And I love children's ministry because that's where I got saved. And so as I'm preaching, I'm just constantly reminded, you know, of there are kids encountering God back there. And it's so awesome that it's not just us, but generation after generation after generation. Because whatever we have, we pass on. And so we're all missionaries. And so I want to do this. Where's all the Philippines missionaries? Are any around here, the Taft guys? Any in us? Or are they all out serving? All out serving. In back there too. They're helping us in children's. They're helping us in sound, greeting, everything. So all the missionaries who are amongst us. I know we have like Sam. You guys are missionaries. Why are you guys? Why don't you stand? If you're here as a missionary, I think we're missing Clay and Rhonda and Joseph and Anya this morning. But anybody else who's here as a missionary, in Taiwan as a missionary. All right, so look around you. These guys are standing because they're missionaries. And now everybody stand because we're all missionaries. Everybody stand and give yourselves a hand. Come on, missionaries. Give each other a hand. Just give each other a hand and say, yeah, it's so good that you're a missionary. Thank you for being a missionary. Turn to someone. Tell them thank you for being a missionary. Go ahead. Go do it. So today we're winding up this series called Mission Field to Mission Force. And that's appropriate for all of us. Because what makes us a mission force is that each and every one of us begins to see ourselves as missionaries. And all a missionary is someone who is living on mission. And every single one of us, we have a mission from God. Once we come to know God, our first mission in life is to get to know God, the one who created us, the one who loves us. Once we get to know him, then our next mission is to share that love with others and to introduce others to Christ, to be a demonstration of who he is. That's really life. And all of eternity, the Bible says, it teaches that all of eternity, we're going to be getting to know God better and celebrating who he is. And so we're just getting started here on earth, getting to know him, celebrating him with one another. And so today we're going to the book of Psalms, actually, in celebration of the end of this series. And we're looking at Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 and 2 says this: May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Selah. And that word Selah, what it means, most Bible scholars say it's like a pause, like a musical interlude. Like, take a pause and think about it. Take a moment and reflect. And so what are we thinking about here? We're thinking about, may God be gracious to us, bless us, and make his face shine upon us. So let's just pause for a moment. These first two verses, they're actually a prayer to God. And today as we go through Psalm 67, we're just going to look at, there's three different parts. And this first part of Psalm 67 is actually a prayer to God. And the prayer begins with, God, bless us. Smile on us. God's intention is that we would live blessed lives. And that we would then be a blessing. But it starts with us learning to receive blessing from God. And there have been times when religious people through history, Christians throughout history, have gotten this skewed notion that God doesn't want to bless us. And so we live these lives of poverty mentality, and we live these lives of self-deprivation. And then what happens is we're so sad, and we're so joyless, and we're so empty, of devoid of any blessing in our lives, that we have nothing to give away. And people look at our lives and think, so that's a reflection of God's image? And they say, I think I'll take a pass on knowing your God. It doesn't mean that we don't have moments and times when we do go without. This past week, we're doing fasting and prayer, which we love and hate, you know. I like food, so I don't like fasting. But I do like what fasting does in my life. And any great athlete knows that there's times when you have to discipline yourself. You have to push a little harder. But we do it for the results ahead of us. Because there's greater blessing, because then we get to run faster. And the Bible talks about how anybody who's competing in sports, they discipline their bodies. You watch what you eat. You limit what you do so that you can perform better, so that you walk into more blessing. And that's the point of fasting, is as we fast, we're able to be a greater blessing to others around us. Because that's the heart of God. And so we just need to take a moment and say, you know, God, I need more of your blessing. I need your face to shine upon me. God, remind me that you are smiling at me. Some of us, our picture of God is that he's just waiting to knock us on the head every time we mess up. And that is such the opposite picture of God. The picture of God is that we're like the little kids just learning to walk. And every time we fall, the parents, they clap and say, you took a step. Now you took two steps. Let's get up and try again. Look, he took his first step. Yay. We're celebrating every step. We don't focus on the fall. We're like, oh, I fell again. What's wrong with you? Wait till you can walk before you try to walk. And you know, that's the way as Christians, that's how we treat each other sometimes. Oh, look, what a mess. You messed up again. Instead of saying, man, you're going for it. You did great. It was a week before you fell this time. And next time it's going to be 2 weeks. You know, we're going to keep after it until you just walk with God without falling. That's the Christian life. That's that's our loving Father whose face shines upon us, who smiles at us. And so let's take a moment and think about that. And then it goes on to say, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So here's a prayer for ourselves. God bless us and smile on us. I always forget this thing. Here we go. Yeah. That should be a prayer you pray every day. Father, bless me. Father, smile on me today. Smile on me even in the moments that I stumble and fall like a loving father. And help me get back up again. Because I want to learn to walk with you. But then that second part of the verse says, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. What does that mean? That means that God wants us to help us to make disciples in every nation. The reason why God blesses us is so that we then can go and make disciples in every nation. Not only here in our nation, but God's desire is that people from every nation, and not just every nation like the church here, but all the earth and all the nations would know God's saving power and know his ways. And so what that means is when you're blessed, and I want to tell you right now, if you're a Christian, you are already immensely blessed. You've already been given eternal life. You've been given the inheritance of the God who made and rules the universe. That's an amazing thing. I think sometimes we get so short-sighted in this life and we think we're only thinking about this life alone. We have to remember that for all of eternity, all the beauty and all the joy and all the goodness that you experience here on earth is only going to be multiplied 10 times, 100 times, 1,000-fold for all of eternity. For those of you who like to travel, all the beautiful places that you've seen on earth, guess what? God made that in a short period of time. But imagine he's had all of eternity to create even more amazing places for us to visit. All of eternity, we're going to be traveling and visiting. I don't know what you think about eternity. Like, it's going to be me in heaven on a cloud with a harp all the rest of eternity. I don't, you know. But I think that the things we enjoy here on earth, created by God, is only a taste of what God can do. The Bible talks about it. It's 7 days God did that. Whether you believe that seven 24-hour days or seven eras or what, you know, whatever science you believe, great. As a church and for me, I just know that I don't know enough science to know yet. But I know that's God's right. I know the Bible's true. I know that I don't always understand the Bible because my brain is a little small compared to God's. And I don't always understand the science of the Bible because science is just woefully incapable of understanding all that God is able to do. So just imagine all that God's doing or has been doing from eternity past into eternity future. And that's all we're going to experience. And so there's goodness that God has for us that he wants us to experience and he wants us to share with others. And it says here that your way may be known on earth, your saving power amongst all nations. So that speaks actually to two things. Number one, God wants us to speak to the ways we do things, the values that we hold, the cultures that we live in and that live in our hearts. And so we're to speak to culture and to begin to change the culture around us to align with God's culture. When we see injustice, we're to say, you know, that's not God's culture. When we see greed, we say, that's not God's culture. When we see abuse and injustice, we say, that's not God's culture. We begin to speak to that. But it also speaks to speaking to people around us who don't yet know God, don't know salvation, aren't yet headed for an eternity in heaven, and still headed for an eternity in hell. And we're to speak to that and say, you need to know, I want to share with you the saving power of God. In every nation, we have what we call, we say that we're a disciple-making nation, church. We're every nation that makes disciples. And Jesus said this as well. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And so in every nation, we're just trying to be what Jesus told us to be, to go to every nation and make disciples. And we have a simple plan for making disciples. We call it the four E's, and it just helps us define what discipleship looks like. Because people have all different ideas of what discipleship looks like. And this is just kind of a simple biblical model. Can you see that? Am I blocking it? Am I okay to move to a little to the side? This side. How about this side? This is a better side. Block you guys. Sorry. But But it starts here where the little arrow is. It starts with engaging culture and community, which means we engage the values and the practices in the culture around us. We engage with it. We don't condemn it. We engage with it. And we begin to find ways to shift it to become more like Christ. And then we engage with the community, and the community is just people. It's the person you work with, the person you go to school with, the person you go to Starbucks with, or run or ride bikes with. Engage culture and community, but it's people. And it's helping them understand, number one, the ways of God, but also God's salvation. That's what discipleship is. And there we go. Once they come to know Christ, we help establish biblical foundations in them. And then the next step, we equip them to then minister the love of God to others, because whatever we receive from God, the culture of heaven is that we share that with others. And lastly, we empower each other to be leaders, because wherever we are, our goal is to be leaders. That doesn't mean we dominate other people. The Bible says that leadership is just serving. And people say, I want to be a leader in church. I always say, come on, join the team. You want to serve? We welcome anybody who wants to serve. We got chairs that need to be set up, because Jesus said, this is leadership. You put on the towel and you serve. So anybody who wants to be a part of the leadership team, we welcome you. We got floors to sweep and all kinds of leadership things to do. Come on, be a part of the team. But so that's simple. You know, that's our what we call our four E's of discipleship. And then here we have what we call our growth track, just to help. And this is kind of like going to school. Parents they're assigned with they have the assignment to raise kids. In the end, you as a parent have the responsibility for your children, that they grow up and grow into maturity. But it's great to have schools alongside that help you raise your children. But the schools are not responsible for your children. The schools will not stand before God for how your children turn out. You will, as the parents. And in the same way within a church, God calls us to make disciples, and all that is spiritually to take on responsibility. Say when a new baby comes into the world, spiritual baby, just come to know Christ, we take on the responsibility of helping to raise each child that comes in, each new person who comes to Christ. All of us together, this is all that discipleship is. It's helping others to know Jesus and to grow up into maturity in Him. But we have what's called the growth track. It's kind of like school, comes alongside and helps to raise those kids. And so our growth track is real simple. We have just a few classes, first steps, one-to-one, connections course, making disciples course, and empowering leaders course. And these are like your core courses that just help to lay out the basic practices and understanding of what it means to grow up as a Christian, to mature in your relationship with God, your relationship with God's people, your relationship with yourself and God's destiny in your life. You know that each and every one of us have a destiny from God. You are created with a purpose. Each and every one of you were created with a purpose. There's never been anybody who showed up in the delivery room and God said, oh, wait a minute. Where'd they come from? How'd this happen? Quick, Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's come up with a plan, you know, for their life. And God's not just one who just kind of lets things. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every. And so each and every one of you have a purpose from God. You can choose to live it out, or you can choose to live your own way. Now, God gives each and every one of us the opportunity and the power, the responsibility of making choices in our lives. But the wise choice is always to choose God's purpose for your life. So turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye, and convince them that God has a purpose for their life. Just say, God has a purpose for your life. And part of our role as a church is to work with God in your life to help you find and discover that purpose and to walk it out. Were they convinced? Did they say yes? You know. It's good. Each and every one of us, we have a purpose. And so we want to help each other walk that out in life. And that is true of everyone who's not in church. Because it's not only people in church who have a purpose, a created purpose from God. Every child born on earth has a created purpose. And so everyone who doesn't know God, God views them as someone who's lost. Like a child, like if a parent has a child who gets lost, that's God's heart for every human being on earth. So God loves them like a lost child. And if we're going to walk with God and be a part of His family, we start to have the same heart that He has. I always talk about how in my family we have 6 kids. And it's easy to feel competition and wish there was, you know, one less mouth on the table or one less, you know, kid to play with, steal my toys. But that is never the heart of the parent. When one gets lost, everybody goes to look for them. It's not like some can stay behind. All of us go look for the lost child. Why? Because that's the focus. And so as a church, we love that we're here. But the focus is always those who don't yet know Jesus. We want them to know Jesus. And knowing Jesus is not the same as coming to church. I love how just this past week, we had a girl come to Christ who's never been to church yet, you know? And I love that. People from the church has just been sharing. She was a co-worker of one of our members, just sharing with them. And then a bunch of them just started inviting her out to their small group. Because it's really about knowing Jesus, sharing His love. All right, where am I in my notes? Getting carried away here. Verse 3 and 5. So it first starts off with a prayer. That God would bless us, but the blessing that always has a purpose. And it's so that others are blessed. Christianity needs to be the least self-centered religion on earth. Okay, verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Another thing to think about. And then it goes back to let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And as I was reading and just kind of pondering on this verse, and I'm thinking, is that a command? Is that a proclamation? And how, what's the best way of communicating what this verse is to our contemporary culture? And the thing I came up with, and I don't know, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, so all you Bible scholars, you can go figure this out and correct me later. But it's a cheer for every tribe and nation. Praise God and be happy. So you know how cheerleaders, they make these declarations and they shout these things in order to try to get people pumped up to do something. They want to get the team pumped up. They want to get the fans cheering for. And so David in the psalm, he's saying, come on, let all the people praise God. Come on, folks, let's praise God. And let's rejoice. Let's be happy. What does that scripture say? It says, let the nations be glad and let them sing for joy. That's God's heart for us, that we would be happy, that we would sing for joy, that we would praise God and be happy. So that should be our cheer. Praise God and be happy. Go, go, go. Something like that. And so churches, we've got to be a happier place. Look at your friend and or your enemy or the person sitting next to you. Tell them, hey, church is a happy place. And if they haven't smiled yet, look at them again, look into their eyes. Because somehow, you know, look into people's eyes, it makes them smile. Right? Just try that. Try to look at the person next to you. Get their eye. Come on. Just look at the smiles that start to bust out, right? They just start. And there's a key there. When God says, let them be glad and sing for joy. Where that joy comes from is actually when we look into the face of God and we actually make a connection eye to eye with God. There's a joy that just naturally responds to that. And it's the same when we do that with people. When you look eye to eye in people and there's that joy of Christ and the love of God inside of you, it brings a smile in them. And at first, they may not be used to it. At first, they're like, whoa, what's this person? Is he hitting on me? Is he weird, you know? But when that love of God fills your heart to overflowing and the peace and love and joy begins to come out of your eyes, you know, being expats here, not being able to speak Chinese, oftentimes when I see people, I don't know what they're saying to me. But I just look at them and I'm trying to nod and I'm trying to understand. But I find that at first, when I'm speaking English to them and they're trying to speak Chinese to me, it's a little tension. And it's a little shock, and especially there's uncomfortability. And sometimes people respond to that not well. You know, there's a little anger, a little like frustration, a little fear. But then when I smile at them, and if I just stick in there and communicate the best I can that, hey, I'm a friend, and I like you, all of a sudden a smile comes on their face. You see, that's how we share the joy of Jesus. It takes a connection. We can just walk past people. There's no joy. We can just walk past people. There's no hope. But when we take time to connect, then what's inside of us can go inside of them. And so as we're walking through this, as we're reading this psalm, and what David is saying is, hey, bring joy. I'm telling you, be happy and spread that joy to others. Why? Because God rules. It says, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. We have joy because God rules. And where God rules, there's joy. And when we find ourselves lacking joy, feeling insecure, feeling fear, feeling anger and offense, it's because there's areas of our life where God doesn't rule. Offense and anger come into places of our lives where we don't let God rule. And so that's where love dwells. That's where the joy and the peace dwells. It's wherever God rules. And it starts by letting God rule in our hearts. Too often, we spend all our time criticizing those in places of leadership, like government leaders and business leaders. And honestly, God is looking at us and saying, well, they're not letting me rule, but my rulership is going to come through their lives is when you let me bring my rulership into your life. Because it's we who know Jesus and allow him to have rulership in our lives, that's where the change begins. And as you submit to God's leadership, as we as a church allow God to rule and reign here, then we can start having more influence out there. Otherwise, when we try to have influence out there without God having rulership here, it becomes hypocritical. And people then quickly reject our message. And we may be saying all the right things. We may be pointing out all the right, wrong things in their life. We may be telling them exactly what they should do and what God wants them to do. But when we're not allowing God to do that in our lives, so the Bible says our voice just becomes like a clanging cymbal, just irritating to people. All right, I better wind this up, shouldn't I? So, verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And so there's two little interplays here. The earth yields its increase, therefore God blesses us. And so here's what happens. Harvest, it's talking about, it's using agricultural terminology. How harvest comes is the farmer works together with God to produce a harvest. And so there's something, we're involved in that. We're involved in bringing up a harvest. But we work with God, and it's a collaboration. So I always remember the story about the farmer this Christian preacher came to him and said, man, look what God's done with all those fields and how God's brought this harvest. And the farmer says, what? I think I'm the one who did that. And he says, no, God did that. He said, what, did you see the field when God just had it? There's nothing there. And it's a collaboration of us with God. And this is, when it's talking about harvest here, it's talking about people coming to know Christ. And that's us working with God to bring that harvest, to knowing Christ. And when we do that, there's a blessing in that when people come to know Christ. And then it goes on to say, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And here's what happens. When God blesses us, there's just this awe in response to him and what he's done. The Bible says that the day will come when every knee will bow and everyone's going to be in awe of who God is and what he's done. But you and I can choose to, of our own volition, see what God has done and stand in awe and respect of him. We can look at the creation that he's made, the amazing universe and earth that he's put us in. We can look at the power of God's salvation and the incredible price that Jesus paid on the cross so that we could be God's children and come into relationship with him. And all of these should leave us in awe of him. And so today we're going to take a moment just to remind ourselves of what God has done. We're going to close the service with taking communion together. So on your chair or underneath, there's a communion elements, the bread and the cup. You know, as we partake of communion today, two things I want us to remember. One is first remembering how amazing communion is. The heavy price that Jesus paid, that the Father paid in sending his only Son, and that Jesus paid in laying down his life for us so that we could have life. We should always be awed by the cross, by the message of the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus for us so that we could know him. But we should also in doing this, we should remember those who have not yet tasted of the goodness of Jesus. And we can't think of Jesus and remember him and the great price that he paid in laying down his life for us out of his love for us, and then just go our way and not think about giving our lives away for others. Because the reason why we remember what Jesus did is so that we become more like him. That who he is begins to be more formed in us. In fact, that's it. That's in this, when you read this whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's the whole context that Paul is communicating to the Corinthians. And he's saying, guys, you're missing the whole point of communion. Because you come in and you take it selfishly for yourselves, and you're not thinking about others as you're taking communion. You're eating it for yourself. That's not what Jesus did. That's not the Lord's Supper. That's not really the communion that God instituted. When we do this, to remember him, how Jesus was the first missionary who came from heaven, laid down his life on our behalf, and that we should live the same kind of lives. So as we wind up this series, Mission Filled to Mission Force, as we remember what Jesus did, let's ask God to not let it just be a religious action that we do, but that it would be as it was meant to be, transformative in our hearts. That as we see Jesus, as we remember him, we are transformed to be like him on the cross, laying down our life for others, so that they can be reconciled with our Father. So let's go ahead and take out your bread and pray over. The Bible teaches us that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This bread is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, you should do it in remembrance of me." Jesus, his body was broken, sacrificed on the cross. And the Bible says there's healing through his broken body. And so as we partake of this bread today, there's healing. If, If you've got broken areas in your life, Jesus wants to heal those. If you've got broken relationships, Jesus wants to heal those. The Bible says that through his broken body, the wounds on his back, we are healed. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, how his body was broken for us. God, I pray right now that as we partake of the bread, Lord, we would, number one, remember your sacrifice. And that, God, as we gaze upon you in our hearts, as we gaze upon you on that cross, your broken body, God, that we would become more like you, our hearts would become more like your heart. And that, Lord God, at the foot of the cross, not only would we be healed, but we'd be transformed. So bless the bread now in Jesus' name. Let's partake together. Let's take out the cups, open those up. Scripture tells us that in the same way Jesus took the cup, he blessed it and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And that new covenant is that God will give us new hearts. God will forgive our sins. God will transform our hearts from being sinful, pursuing sin, hardened against him. Transform it to be like his heart. That we love God. We'd love our neighbors. We'd even love our enemies. And we'd have that heart of a missionary to give our lives away on behalf of others. So Father, as we partake of the cup today, we pray you do your work in us as you promised, to give us new hearts, to wash away sin and the effects of sin in our lives. Give us a soft heart that pursues you. A soft heart that's moved with compassion toward those around us who are hurting, those around us who don't know you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup together. Would you stand with me? It's always great to be together as the family of God. There's a certain bond that we share because we are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. But our prayer for you today is that not only would you sense the smile of God upon your life. And let's just take a moment right now, just close our eyes and just imagine God looking down on you as a son or daughter, smiling on you because you're taking those steps with him. That God celebrates every step you take. Just imagine the warmth of God's smile on your life. God loves you so much. And our prayer for you this week is that throughout the week you would experience the love and the smile of God upon your life. A joy that transcends circumstance. And that you would not only receive that love, but that God would show you others around you that you can share that love with. And so today we commission you once again as missionaries. Each and every one of you is a missionary. You are a life on mission to share, to spread, to be a recipient of God's love and to share that love with others. You've been chosen by God for that task. And now you've been commissioned to go, to make disciples of all people. The Lord bless you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. thanks again for joining us today. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.